Let's say the Packers can't get the tier one receivers that they're looking for. Who are players who could recreate some of those skills later in the draft? Plus, we recap our Locked On NFL draft mock draft around the league. And what is the Packers' plan for trades, either before or after the draft? All of that coming up.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. Do
your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. You can follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Today's episode is a fun one. We have a lot to get to before we get to our NFL draft stuff on Thursday, Friday. So buckle up. It's going to be a fun week. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. I want to start today's show because Packer fans are programmed to be prepared for disappointment. And what I see a lot of fans doing is talking about these doomsday scenarios, and I, you know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But what I thought would be fun, and it is something that I do when I go through the evaluation process, and it's something that I see a lot on Twitter and in discussions around these draft prospects. And that is, okay, let's think about the players at the top of the draft that you can get. What is the gap between a player who can do that at their level versus a player who can do similar things, bring similar attributes to your team at a lesser level later? So you get player X in the first round, or you get player Y in the fourth round or the third round. What is the gap in their traits, the gap in their projection? What is that worth? And this is, at its core, the fundamental part of the draft that teams need to get right. Because if you draft a good player, that's always good. Getting good players is good. The question is, where in the draft, in terms of its shape, are you able to extract maximum value? So if there is a speed receiver, for example, I don't know why I would just think of a speed receiver. Why would I think of that? And you want a guy at the top of the draft who gives you that. Well, what is the gap between that guy in the first round that you might need to trade up to get? Let's just say, for instance, his name is Jameson Williams. Let's just say, for instance, and you want to trade up for him. Okay. Well, what about on day three in the fourth round, you can get a guy there who can give you 80% of the deep threat that you're getting from player X. We're calling him Jameson Williams. And let's say that this other player, player Y, let's just, for example, call him Tyquan Thornton. What is the gap in the rest of their skill set? These are things that I think are really important when we have these draft discussions. So with that in mind, let's talk about some of the guys, the lesser known names. We know the big names. So I want to take you through some lesser known names who can provide a facsimile of what you're looking for from some of these top guys. Let's start with Jameson Williams. Tyquan Thornton is the discount version of Jameson Williams. He's skinny. They're almost identical physically in terms of height, weight. And Tyquan Thornton ran in the 4.3s. I think Jameson Williams, he plays 4.3. He might even play faster than that, like high 4.2s, really. I mean, his ability to eliminate angles against SEC athletes is just next level. Tyquan Thornton is a track star, not quite the same level of receiver, but in terms of just pure, deep, nasty speed, he's got it. And if you can get that guy at, you know, 140 or whatever, the fourth round pick, That's pretty valuable. Now, I think Jameson Williams is a better overall receiver. There's a reason he was at Ohio State and then Alabama. But he's also coming off an ACL injury, does not have more than 1 year of high-level production. I mean, there's reasons to be cautious about it and certainly reasons not to want to trade up for him because you can get Tyquan Thornton later in the draft. Chris Olave is a name that Packer fans love. I love him too. He's a top 20 kind of player. But you can get a skinny, fast, route-running savant who can play from the slot or play outside, a little bit undersized, later in the draft. John Metchie from Alabama, who's coming off an ACL injury as well, probably a mid-day two kind of player, and you can get him without having to pay the Olave premium. Chris Olave, there's a chance he goes in the top 20. Well, I don't know, frankly, that there's a huge gap in terms of the quality of player. Just let's just take Chris Olave last season and John Metchie when he was healthy last season. Is there a big difference in quality of play? I don't think so. The difference is a torn ACL, and the difference is overall productivity. I think that that's a great deal. Discount Chris Olave as John Metchie. Drake London. Packers are not going to be in a position to draft Drake London. Although I think he's going to go later than some expect. We'll see. There is a report out now that these receivers are going to go sooner than we think. And that's just a report, but multiple reports going, hey, these guys are going early. And we need to be understanding of what that means and how that affects what Green Bay wants to do. The discount Drake London is Justin Ross from Clemson, a big body ball winner. He's not a terrific route runner. He's not a speedster, although he was faster pre-injuries. He had multiple injuries that set him back. I mean, ended up running in the 4.6s at his pro day. Didn't jump well. I mean, not the kind of athlete that Green Bay would usually be interested in, and I think that's important to say here. But is certainly someone who, when you go back to like the 2018 tape, or excuse me, the 2019 tape, the 2020 tape, he's a really, really, really good player. So was he just not that guy more recently because he was hurt? Or is he just not that guy anymore? Either way, that is, I think, your discount Drake London. Or what about Treylon Burks? Someone who, according to Albert Breer, has got some connections to Green Bay, according to what he's hearing. Someone that the Packers brought in for a workout. Someone who I think fits everything that they want to do and be. If you want the discount version, this is a name I think you're going to like, Alec Pierce. That seems weird, right? But body control at the catch point. High pointing at the catch point, not a sleek route runner, not someone who's going to get shifty in and out of his breaks and sink his weight and drive out of cuts and run blaze outs and double moves and stutter goes. It's just not what he does. But he can get down the field. He can make some plays after the catch and he can win at the catch point. Athlete. They're both really good athletes. Alec Pierce tested better, but I think that's your discount version. Discount George Pickens. George Pickens is someone that we're going to talk about in a little bit because he was part of the mock draft that we're going to talk about. Someone who can get down the field, who can create underneath, but lacks some polish. Romeo Doubs is that guy. Walking splash play. That's the thing that stands out to me about George Pickens. He's just going to make one big play a game at least. Well, Romeo Doubs is the same way from Nevada. Good size, over 200 pounds, over 6 feet tall. Checks a lot of the boxes that Green Bay likes. Tom Silverstein projected him as a sixth round pick. I think that is madness. If he goes in the sixth, the NFL is just crazy. Crazy. He is a day two player all day. I really like that as a discount player. I think get both of those guys. If I'm the Packers, give me Pickens and Dubs, please. They're both really good players and could be really useful in this offense. And then Christian Watson. Raw, small school guy, speed, all tools. If you have to use the 28th pick on him, that's just going to be too rich for me. Why not use a day three pick on Isaiah Weston, who's an older prospect, University of Northern Iowa, so not a major college program, and is a bucket of tools. Sign me up. Sign me up. I think that makes a lot of sense for what the Packers want to be. Not to say I don't like Christian Watson. I do. I just think and understand that there is this, you know, this other tier of guys that the Packers can get who would give them a lot of similar kinds of productivity, or at least a similar kind of profile as we move forward here. All right. We're going to talk about the Locked On NFL, the Odyssey mock draft. We're going to talk about receiver trades, all of that coming up in just a second. Before we get there, let's talk about our friends at Athletic Greens, AG1 in particular. AG1 is a product that I use every day. I wake up, I come downstairs, I take an allergy med, I get my coffee ready, and I take AG1. AG1 is something that makes me feel good every time I use it. And when I don't use it, I feel the difference. I really, really do. What they bring to you is 75 high quality vitamins and minerals, whole sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. It's the probiotics for me. That's the big reason I'm not good with vitamins. And my stomach is finicky. It's got a mind of its own. And so I want to feed it things that make it feel good. I want to feed it things that make it healthy, that make it stay healthy. And that's where AG1 comes in. I'm bad at taking pills too, so that doesn't help. Let me make it easy for you. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs for your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL network. That's athleticgreens.com/NFL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. It is a great time of year for sports betting. We've got the NBA playoffs. We've got the NFL draft. We've got hockey. We've got baseball. All the sports are here for you. And Bet Online is your source for all of it. Head to the website or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, I want to talk about the Locked On Ultimate mock draft, which you can find on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So we got to 22. Jameson Williams goes at 17. Chris Olave is off the board. Treylon Burks is off the board. Garrett Wilson is off the board. Drake London long off the board. This is a group of people ahead of me, 21st, 21 picks, who are smart. They know a lot. They know good receiver talent when they see it. So yeah, they drafted guys that I wanted to draft. So I'm sitting there and there were players that I would take. Travis Jones. I think you make the case for someone like Lewis Cine, Daxton Hill, some of these safeties. There were some offensive linemen that I would have at least given some thoughts to. But our Locked On Seahawks host, Corbin Smith, came to me and he said, I think this is something that the Seahawks would be interested in doing. I believe they like Desmond Ridder. We have subsequent reporting that is in fact the case. And so I want to give you 40 and 41 for 22. We also added a third round pick swap. I threw in, I think, a 7th round pick. So I've got a lot of questions about what the trade was. That was the trade. 22 for 40 and 41 and a 3rd round pick swap. Plus the Packers gave up a 7th round pick. I think that was the deal. I like this trade in this scenario because you still have 28. Now, I was also thinking about, you know, the reaction and all that stuff. And I was just like, I don't want to have to defend Travis Jones because I didn't want to deal with that part of it. I think Green Bay would be willing to take the heat there. But I also like the idea of getting 40 and 41. You move back. You really wanted a receiver. There was not a pass rusher there that I thought would have moved the needle. If we're being honest, this was about a month ago. I had not watched the safeties yet, so maybe I would have taken a Daxton Hill or a Lewis Cine there, but that's not where I was at that moment. I think in retrospect, I'm fine with the trade, but I would definitely keep 28. And the reason I would keep 28 is because ultimately I was able to draft George Pickens with that spot. Now, do I think George Pickens is ultimately going to be a first round pick? No, I don't. There are questions about his maturity levels, questions about his attitude. Now, my thing with George Pickens is if he loafed, if he showed entitlement in a way that was deleterious to his play on the field, I'd be worried about it. Watch him play. He is a dog. In the most complimentary way that I can put, he's a dog. He runs routes to win even when he's not in the play. You know who doesn't do that? Treylon Burks all the time. He wants to end you as a blocker. You know who doesn't do that? Chris Olave, Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams. None of those guys. He is the most ferocious blocker in this class. And part of that is because he's a little bit of a firecracker. Got into a fight on the field that he got kicked out of. Swinging haymakers. You know what? I don't care. I don't. I want fire. I can modulate you back. It's really hard for me to modulate you up. And this is something that we talk about with quarterbacks. We talk about with pass rushers. I can't, generally speaking, coach intensity up. This is in all sports. I can't make you more intense as a coach. I can throttle you back a little bit. People, as they mature especially, you learn to handle situations better. And it is frankly hard to think of players, the ultra talented players who did not have problems off the field and who didn't have work ethic problems. George Pickens does not have a work ethic problem. He came back from a serious injury in under a year and played and was productive, caught a splash play on the opening drive against Alabama, caught a 50-yard pass, is out there less than 12 months after a major injury. He is MFing guys in the run game and shushing the sidelines. This guy is a competitor, man. He is fiery. And I understand there's some, if you go back, there's some stuff in his background. Not Tyreek Hill level stuff, really gross stuff. Nothing that I have heard that says this guy is a legit, like, bad, like, maybe should have been in jail, dude. Because there are some players where that happens, where some stuff gets swept under the rug, stuff involving women, whether it's sexual violence or normal regular violence. That stuff's not in his resume. I just think that, like, that if you're just a jerk as a 20-year-old, I don't know. I was kind of a jerk as a 20-year-old. I'm still sometimes kind of a jerk. I hope I'm less of one now. But that's the point. I want the guy who's a dog on the field, who works hard, and who's really productive, and who has a lot of talent that can get better. If you care about what's happening on the field, it's not that I don't care what's happening off of it, because I do. But as long as you're not, like, going to the club and doing stupid, not James Harden stuff, and you're not, you're not surrounded by people who are actually dangerous to you, or you are not dangerous to them, and you're not making these decisions that have all of these negative impacts on your community, that you are not this predator with women. We have a really low bar in the NFL, a really low bar. Could he be immature? Sure. Might he be kind of a hothead? Maybe. Probably. Seems like it. But all that stuff is also reflected on the field. He works hard. He plays hard. So then the question is he coachable? Can he get better? It seems like he works hard, so it seems like he can get better. And then how does he impact your culture? Because if he's getting it, like he's been in fights in locker rooms. Okay, how does that manifest itself in the NFL when you're a professional, when you're getting paid millions of dollars? Does that amplify the entitlement? These are questions that you have to ask, not just about George Pickens, but every player, all players. We have to be doing our due diligence on all of this. I didn't mean for this to go down this rabbit hole, but I do think it's an important conversation to be having. I want guys who play hard, who work hard, who it matters to, who are competitive. That's what I want. I think it's important to be, you know, a good contributor to culture. But I also think we're talking about 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. And sometimes it's very useful for these players to come into a professional setting where they can learn, where they can grow. We have to in all walks of life, not just accept, but encourage that growth is necessary. And if you're a good locker room, if you're a locker room like the Packers, go back and listen to the Kenny Clark interview and listen to him explain why Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell came right in and contributed. Culture. If you think you have a strong culture, you can bring someone in who is a little immature and let them grow, help them grow. A couple practice reps with Mercedes Lewis, a couple practice reps against Jair Alexander and Eric Stokes, his former teammate, a couple practice reps with Randall Cobb, with Alan Lazard, guys who do things the right way. And you hope that you can get this stuff where it needs to be. You hope that you can help a young man who's extremely talented maximize those gifts and do it for your team. This is something that, again, has become a macro point, not just about this player, but about all players. There is, again, this low bar of, okay, they're not a criminal. So then where are they on the scale? And where can we get them? And where can they evolve to? Where are they willing to evolve to? And what is it going to take? And what is it relative to their talent? And that is a kind of a craven calculation that has to be made. You hope you're on a team that is not in the position to have to make that. But I also think it's not even a second chance situation. It's more of just like, can we help this person? And can they help us? And can this be a mutually beneficial situation? And can everyone grow with this? That's the best case scenario. It doesn't always go that way. We saw it go bad with Antonio Brown, who's a much older person. You would hope they'd be more mature. It didn't work out that way. But we've also seen this work out in a positive way where the team structure, where the success, where the culture has been a positive impact on these players. And I think that's an underrated part of any calculation that's going on in the NFL draft. Thanks for making Locked On Today your first listen of the day. Now for a big announcement. The first time ever, Locked On is hosting a live draft coverage from our studios in Dallas with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team experts and draft gurus. Tune into all 3 days as your draft team, me, guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts on Thursday, April 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Locked On NFL YouTube page and on the Odyssey app. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a place where you can go if you're a person like me, who doesn't know what things cost. I don't know what is a carburetor cost. I don't know. What is a fan belt cost? I don't know. But I know I don't want to get ripped off when I buy one. And so that's where Rock Auto comes in. Why spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more from a chain store or auto parts dealer when you could go to rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers for 20 years. That's the beauty of what they do. They're not going to charge you a different thing because you're just a do-it-yourselfer. They want to give you the best price that they can give you. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. One point I want to make as we head toward the NFL draft. I was going to open the show, actually, talking about the likelihood of a move between now and the draft. And Brian Gutekunst spoke on Monday about how the expectation was, the plan was, to wait until the draft, to see how the draft shakes out. And I think this is important because they have four picks in the top 60 and two picks on day one. If things go wonky in the first round, and now they got to start taking second round picks, and the best option you have is a Jalen Tolbert, Christian Watson duo, maybe someone like Kadarius Toney becomes a little bit more appealing. Maybe if you have to trade out of 22 to get 40 and 41, maybe Darius Slayton becomes a little bit more appealing. If you feel like you need more than one of these players and you get a first round player who you don't think can compete right away or fits a certain kind of mold, a Treylon Burks, for example, maybe you're more interested in a Jalen Reagor trade. Those things start happening Friday or later. Darren Waller, a name that's out there right now. That was reportedly the name. You go back a month and a half, a name that was, inserted into this Devontae Adams trade, that was the player in question. Green Bay potentially has interest there. You have to believe that if a second round pick is the asking price, there's a lot of assumptions built in there, right? That you see how the first round goes. Because then you have to pay a 29-year-old tight end top of market money, even though it's a lot less than a receiver top of market money. There's a lot of factors to take into account there. And then you have, Tyler Lockett, who is not going to become available if he becomes available until after June 1. What if the Chargers are able to get Jameson Williams, as they did in the Locked On Ultimate NFL Mock? Does that make Keenan Allen more available? Now are you saying, okay, well, here's 28. Go get someone you want. We'll take Keenan Allen. Or if you're the Seahawks and they get someone at 9 that they really like, could DK Metcalf become available? Maybe Washington, they get Chris Olave and the Packers, and there's someone nice there that they like at 22. Could you give up 22 for Terry McLaurin? All this stuff is available to them. I just don't see anything happening like the Kadarius Toney, Darius Slaytons, and Jalen Reagors of the world, these secondary and even tertiary players. Where do they fit in all of this? I think for the Packers, the best thing for them is to say, let's see how the first round plays out. I think you're still efforting some of these big swings. AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, maybe Darren Waller. And see where it goes. But I also think that, especially with maybe some of the lower tier guys, I think Waller fits that bill because he's older, different position. That you're going, okay, let's see what's available, and then we'll make those decisions. For those top guys, you're still trying to get Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. Because you have to offer those first round picks. If that doesn't work and you get through the first round and things did not break the way that you wanted them to, that's when you start to go into, okay, Friday morning, you're calling, Mark Davis and saying, hey, what can we get done? Hey, Josh McDaniels, what can we get done? And hey, John Schneider, what can we get done? Pete Carroll, what can we get done? That's, I think, how this is going to go. We're getting back tomorrow where we put together the perfect mock draft. That is the goal. We'll put together the perfect mock draft, get you everything that we can to get you set for Thursday. And then we're going to go live Thursday. We'll go live Friday. So the Wednesday show will carry you into Thursday night. And then we'll have a Thursday night YouTube stream live. We will have a Friday night YouTube stream live. It just doesn't make sense to have a show that comes out Thursday morning for a thing that's going to happen 12 hours later. It just doesn't make sense. So the show for Wednesday is going to carry you until the Thursday live show Friday. And then, so if you don't listen to the live show, which you should, YouTube, Locked On Packers, you'll get it Friday morning and Saturday morning. You will have podcasts in your feed. for everything you need around the NFL draft. That's what we do here on Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime I heard from a fan that said, can I react? Can we do fan reactions? Yes. Yes. Yes, we can get fan reactions to the picks. Locked On Packers fan hotline, 920-340-3775. Stay locked on Packers.